All is in divine order now. Divine order is my normal path in life. Divine order is my normal path in life. We spoke about this a little bit before, and we'll speak about it many, many more times because it's a terrific topic. All is in divine order now. We have so many people calling us and asking us for guidance and help and stuff like that, and they all say to this to us, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Is it a lot of them? And they say, what can we do? What can we do? And we as practitioners just say to them, well, what you do is you speak your word and you say all is in divine order. But it's not in divine order. That's right. At the moment, you're not experiencing this because you're saying it's not in divine order. And as long as you say it's not in divine order, it's not in divine order because you're speaking your word. Now, as soon as you start speaking your word, all is in divine order, then you're putting that cause in motion and you're putting that program in motion. Now, you're going to have to overcome a little of your own inner resistance. Your inner resistance that says, but it's not in divine order. I can see it's not in divine order. I can see the problems, you know. And, of course, as long as you see that, as long as you say that, then that's what you experience. And it's just so easy. It's just such a simple procedure, but yet people will not pay attention to that. They recognize that you're a naughty boy, you're a naughty girl, you're doing bad things, and then they wonder why the kids turn out to be naughty boys and girls. And the other mother says, oh, you're so thoughtful, you're so loving, you're such wonderful children, I am so proud of you. And her children turn out to be super children. Now, they're not perfect. They have their little inconsistencies, you know, they have their little areas where they don't agree with mama. They're not just a clone of mama. But mama has taught them to be lovely people, considerate people, thoughtful people. And they're not going to be thoughtful people if mama goes around saying, you're not thoughtful people, you're not considerate people, you're not doing the right thing. It's just the law of cause and effect. Now, we can readily see that. We can see how that works. We can see how that is an action in our life. And yet, we still don't give it all the power that it can have. Now, how can we give it the power it can have? We give it the power it can have by, regardless of the appearances, we speak our word. We say, all is in divine order now. All is in divine order now. All is in divine. We don't have to say anything else in our whole life. Because inside of us, there is a pattern that says divine order is good. Inside of us, there is a pattern that says anything that's divine is good. Anything that's divine is wonderful and desirable. It's just a pattern that's in us. It's like there's a pattern that is the word good means good, and the word bad means bad. Divine means good. Divine means desirable. Divine means wonderful. So we should practice, if we want to practice, if we want to have this game played this way, by saying, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. And the second phrase we have here, this is my normal path in life. This is my normal path in life. Now, does that mean there will not be moments of up and downs for us? Yes, there will not be moments of up and downs. But when we forget, then we will have a down, not because the law is not active in the right way. It's because we chose to put the law in motion in a different direction. And the law doesn't care. The law is like $1,000. $1,000, I give it to Sylvia, and Sylvia says, wow, great! And she goes on and says, now I can publish another book. And I say, Sylvia, you are a dream. Anita gets $1,000. She says, wow, great! I can send John a coiffure to do his hair in style. You know? And I say, crazy. And then I give Ingeborg $1,000. And Ingeborg says, oh boy, I know a rock I can hide it under, and it will not disappear. It'll stay, it'll last, it'll just be there whenever I need it. I don't ever need it, but it'll be there whenever I need it. And no. But you see, you can give $1,000 to all these different people without any strings attached. And we make our own strings on them. I give $1,000 to Faith, and what does she do? She sends presents to all the grandchildren. I say, Faith, why don't you have your teeth done? You said you wanted them done. Faith, why don't you have your hair done? Give it to your hairdresser, and she will do so many hairdressings over a period of time. You know, wow, that's great. Or, and like I told her, I said, go down to Baker Square and take that money and give it to Baker Square and say, I want coupons, you know, for dinners. And they're $5 coupons or whatever they are. And that way you can always have it to go. But if you're just going to give it to the grandkids, they don't care. They'll spend it or do whatever you do with it. And they'll say, that was nice of Grandma. It was nice of, she's not a grandma. She's an aunt, I guess, huh? To her brother's kids. Yeah, so an aunt. And her own grandson, I didn't see her doing any big deals for him. And she's very smart because he should do it for himself. He's a very capable guy. And we should all tell ourselves that. We're very capable guys. We can put the cause in motion. But you see, we give good to a lot of people, and they use it in their own good way, in divine order. And for them, divine order is to see someone happy, not necessarily to be happy themselves. They're happy by seeing someone else happy. And that's good. That's good. We're not to judge how it's done. The widow, what did she do? She gave her last little bit. And what did Jesus say about that? She gave the greatest gift. The rich man who gives a part of his riches is not giving in one portion compared to the widow who gives a little bit that she has, you know. Now, that's judgment, of course, and that's comparison, and that's all these other things, which is okay, but we're not concerned about the widow's mite, are we? We're not concerned about the rich man's giving. We're concerned about what we're doing. Now, Anita, you are what? You are independently what?
Wealthy.
Oh, my gosh. She's independently wealthy. Let's get to know her better, huh? Mm. And Ingeborg, you live in what?
Paradise.
Thank you very much. I'm happy for you. Now, Sylvia, you live in what?
In wealth. In independent wealth.
Here I give you these wonderful statements, these wonderful positive statements, and you don't say them. Now, Anita, what was the statement?
I live in my eternally perfect.
Executively. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. Right now. Well, hey, she did the wealth. She did the wealth. And I was going to give each one of you a different section of this here, you know.
I thought you wanted to empower us.
Well, that's good, too. That's good, too. You didn't hurt anything, that's for sure. But you didn't carry my little story out.
Mm.
Now, you see, I knew what I was thinking, and I knew what I was saying, and I knew what I wanted. And I got all sorts of new ideas, you know, new approaches to the old story. And that's great. But I want you to recognize that when you say, I'm independently wealthy, you're independently wealthy. You don't say how, where, why, what, and you don't say how much, how little. You say, I'm independently wealthy. And when you say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, you don't say how the liver is and how the heart is and how these things are. They're perfect. They're perfect. Right?
Right.
Right. So, these are things we want to say. These are things we want to say. And what do we do when we say it? What do we think when we say it?
Put the cause in motion.
Yeah, yeah. We put the cause in motion, but we experience it. When we say it, we experience it. When we say it, we think it. When we think it, we experience it. You wrote about that.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought is manifest by, your manifestation is the result of your thought. Get that twisted around there in the right way. Your manifestation is the result of your thought, and that's true. That's true. Never be afraid to back up and come in at another direction to get the comment that you want. Always go for what's right for you. What's your divine right action, divine right order. And that's beautiful, isn't it? You like that? Yeah, okay. Now, how is John going to get a haircut? What are you going to do about it?
Oh, I see him. He's a perfect haircut.
And what are you going to do about him?
He has the haircut he deserves.
I wouldn't really encourage myself to go to you as my practitioner. You probably are very effective, but who is determining what he deserves? Yeah, well,
what he likes.
Now, what you have just said is what his letter said. He would like Anita to fly over there and give him a haircut. That's really what he has in mind. Now, do you think he's going to get it? I mean, it's a subtle way of saying he'd like to have Anita there.
Everything is possible.
Oh, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying, for instance, if you didn't want to go, and he put in consciousness for you to go, would you be harmonious with going, or would you be reluctant to go?
I would be reluctant.
All right. You'd be reluctant to go. So why should he put an inharmonious, you see, according to his what? According to his what, did you say?
To his ideas.
No, that's not what you said. What did you say?
He likes, he serves.
According to what he deserves.
Yes.
Well, now, what do I think he deserves?
Perfect haircut.
I do not. I see him bald. That may not be his vision of himself. I see him with pigtails, you know, all over his head. I see him with an afro. You know what an afro is?
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't he look charming with an afro?
Yes. Not enough
hair. No. Oh, it, yes. Afro does take care of a lot of areas where there's nothing.
They add some.
Yeah. But see, an afro would look beautiful on him.
Mm-hmm.
He really would look good with an afro. He'd look very unusual, but he'd look good. So now we can play this game and come up with a lot more interesting ideas, but what are we saying? We're saying all is in divine order now. But I would recommend to you, Ingeborg, that you be a little cautious about what he deserves, because you may be his detractor, someone who's against him. And you may think what he deserves is something quite different from someone else who is his supporter. And they think what he deserves is quite different. Now, none of us have a detraction or a support of Master Gregor. But can you visualize Gregor being a steward on a yacht? Can you?
He's a bit clumsy.
Yeah. You see what I mean? I mean, if he gets what he deserves by your comment, my God, he wouldn't be a steward more than 10 minutes. I visualize him as a steward.
With all the elegance.
Oh, I visualize him with all the elegance. You see, Gregor has a lot more pizzazz and charm than we give him credit for. Because we see him working with the handy things, you know, just like Anita. We see her working with the handy things. And we don't know the class that these people have. We don't know the pizzazz, the charm, the magnificence.
Yes, he has.
Well, we have to be very careful that we don't think what he deserves. Because we may not really appreciate how good these people are. Now, I thought, speaking of God Gregor, at this one moment, we would be all in accord and saying, yes, he'd be a wonderful steward. Just like, yes, that's what I thought. But no. Hey, Gregor, you are always there for something very special, I tell you. So, all is in divine order now. This is my normal path in life. Let's all say this together 3 times. All is in divine order now. This is my normal path in life. All is in divine order.